2016 continues to be an interesting year for producers here locally and in the region. With that said, this week we're going to take a look at some baleage issues that some producers have encountered here locally, and also we'll take a look again at weed control in pastures and in hay fields and how you can reduce those populations and increase your forage yield. Welcome to this week's edition of the Extension Service Update. I'm Curtis Dame, Hopkins County Extension Agent for Agriculture and Natural Resources. First off this week, let's take a look at weed control in the pastures. I know we've discussed that a lot this year, but in general, weedy plants are usually not very high yielding and are considered to be low in quality. However, some weeds like Johnson grass and other grassy weeds, if you cut them early enough, they will provide you some level of nutrient quality to your hay or pasture. Generally though, when you let those seeds and weeds go to maturity, you'll find that they'll eventually take over your pastures and the quality of the forage and grasses that you have will be decreased. On the other hand, some weedy plants are unpalatable compared with desirable forage species. Therefore, they are not normally consumed by the animals themselves, and that in turn lends to population increases for weed species. Now, one problem we've encountered this fall is that due to the dry weather we've had recently, a lot of the pastures have dried up. And so cattle and other animals are looking for sources of feed to replenish those feed supplies. And one prime example is that cattle will go after Perilla mint. Perilla mint is highly toxic to cattle and other animals, and we've found that this problem does exist across multiple counties in the area. Now, Perilla mint, like I said before, is highly toxic, and if you can control it now, it will solve problems for you in the future, since it can readily spread across pastures in the area. Although there are exceptions, most weeds do not compete well with a dense stand of desirable forage species. So regardless of what type of grass you want to plant on your farm, whether it be fescue or orchard grass, maybe timothy, if you can get those stands thick enough and fertilize them in the fall to get good root growth just like you would turf or a yard, you can really help yourself in the long run in regards to weed management and control. You also need to use controlled grazing practices. Grasses are very tolerant, but they're not tolerant of overgrazing. And so just like mowing your yard short and scalping the grass, the same thing will be done by cattle or horses if there's too many animals put on a per acre basis. We refer to that as an effective stocking rate. Now, also mowing at the proper time and stage of maturity will really lend a hand into the reduction of weed species in these pastures or hay fields. And lastly, renovating pastures as needed is a last step option because that can also be expensive. But if you can keep those desirable forages growing in the long term, I think you'll be happy with the forage quality. Now, if you're curious what kind of quality you've got and whether or not those weeds have really decreased your overall quality of the forages that you have, you can contact the Extension office here and we can test the hay for you. We've got a number of probes that either you can rent out or we'll actually come out and sample your hay for you. And we'll give you a comparison of the relative feeding values to the other hay samples that have been taken this year. Lastly this week, I've got a lot of questions about baleage and how baleage can be used. As producers seek to maximize the efficiency of the forage harvesting and storing system, baled silage, commonly known as baleage, a lot of times we get the question, why should they consider baleage? Baleage forage tends to have a higher moisture level that is required for dry hay and offers some advantages. Typically, a small grain crop such as wheat or a first cutting of cool season grass is difficult to harvest for hay at the proper maturity stage. And usually that's because we have excessive rainfall, and we know that was the case this year. However, such crops would work well in a baleage system, which requires a higher moisture range around 40 to 60%, and shorter field drying time, which will allow a producer to get in there, harvest it, wrap it and put it up, and then the process you have is waiting at least 90 days for that system to cure, which will inhibit the growth of detrimental microorganisms. This process will consume some dry matter and some digestible energy, mainly water-soluble carbohydrates, but this small loss is comparable to dry matter losses that result from raking, baling, tedding, and storing round bales outside as hay. The main issue that scares producers is the talk and concern of botulism in wrap baleage or hay. This bacteria that produces one of the most potent classes of toxin known to man, the spores of these bacteria are widespread in the environment, particularly in soil particles, but are dormant. Now, under certain anaerobic conditions and with the right nutrients, the spores can germinate and grow, therefore releasing toxins. To minimize the risk of botulism toxicosis from baleage, wrap bales at the correct moisture from 50 to 60%, and store them in areas that reduce damage to the plastic from the environment or from animals themselves. Type C botulism toxicity is usually associated with decomposing carcasses, such as a snake or what have you, that gets into the bales themselves. So this week we've highlighted both weed control and quality in your pastures, and a look at some of the baleage techniques and the topic itself here locally. If you have any questions about this week's topics, feel free to contact your local extension service.